Well, now, I was all prepared, you know, to, well, we were going to delve into some good stuff this morning. I couldn't wait, you know. And the Lord says, nope, not what you're going to do. Whether we get to or not this time, I don't know. But he says, see, the point of all this is that when you leave here, you take something with you. So there's no point, you know, the idea is not to impress anybody with revelation knowledge or whether you think I'm a teacher or Dave or anything, really. You know, we send this stuff free. I send tapes and printed materials free to preachers all over the country, and I tell them, it's not necessary that you even mention my name. Learn these things. I mean, you know, if these bless you and you think they'll help your sheep, take them, all these principles and teach them. I didn't originate this. I didn't write the Word of God. You know, what have I got? But that, you know, the things I have, they've been freely given to me. See, and so the idea is to feed the sheep. The idea is to help people, so that once it's through, they've got a little more God, you know, or hopefully a lot more God than when they came. So that's the idea. So there's no point in me, you know, going on and on and on with things, and unless you've really got what we've already talked about. So the Lord said this morning He wanted a review during this first hour anyway. And this would be the type of session. This is a classroom type setting this morning. Last night was last night awesome or what? I mean, you know, that's get out of the way. There's no time for notes here, okay? But now this morning, if you have something to write on, or if you could borrow something from your neighbor, this would be a good one. You might want to write, because what we're going to do, we're going to review some of the most important points to make sure you've got them, make sure you understand them, that you don't forget them. Now, if you don't have something to write on or don't feel like doing that, then you know, I would get the tape, because we're going to pretty well summarize the things we've learned about hope. And all of this has to do with the born-again trail. You may not... Right now you're going, okay, well, we got two things going on here. We got the born-again trail going on, and we got this hope thing going on. No, they're really the same thing. Because what's going to happen as Dave unveils the born-again trail, and you start finding out who you really are. See, who you are is really not who you've been. And where He's taking us in inheritance is not the same path as the works trail we've been on.
Yeah, that's right.
You see? And what's really going to happen as you learn these principles about hope, then as Dave teaches you about the born-again trail and you find out, bless God, that's who I am, you're going to have to learn how to fill your soul with the image of who you are in Christ, who He is in you, what the Holy Spirit has come to do with Him in you. And by that, we're transformed into that same image. We're really preaching on 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold Him as in a glass. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what's going on here. But you've got to know how to behold Him. See, that glass is a mirror. That's you. Your spirit is the mirror. You look in there, you find Christ. Well, if you can really see that, and let Him fill you up, that hope on the inside of you, then you're progressively changed in your walk. And First John, he said, you know, we really ought to walk as He walked. We like to preach that. How many people you know walk in that? How would you like to be one? We're going to review hope then. Because if you don't understand how hope works, you're never going to live in much faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But now it's got to be godly hope. It's got to be the kind of hope He's been teaching us about, and not human hope. Human hope is vague and wishy-washy, and I hope someday to have a better car. You know, it starts at that level. I hope someday to get my rent paid on time. You know, I hope someday that God might use me. You know, you can go higher and higher with that. But the principle of faith and hope working together is involved in all of that. Every stage, whether you're believing for your next biscuit or you're believing that God's going to put eyeballs in that little child when you pray for them. Still the same principle. I ought to teach I just thought of a tape title. From Biscuits to Eyeballs. No. That'd sell. No. Trouble is, I don't sell mine. So, anyway. So we're going to review, and we've already mentioned Hebrews 11:1, so you don't really, I know you know that one by heart by now anyway. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, number one, write this down. The Spirit's definition of hope. And this is what changes it from what we normally call as human hope. He said, godly hope is when you agree. Godly hope is when you agree what has been is not what shall be. Now, until you arrive there, you're in some kind of wishy-washy human hope, kind of sort of hope, maybe someday things will get sort of better, maybe I hope. See? And he says, that's not even hope. You're not even a candidate for faith yet. Forget that. And I'm going to try and restrain myself from going into too much of what we've already talked about on the tapes. The classic example is Abraham. God had to change the image. For 50 years, roughly, him and Sarah had been married. All Abraham had ever seen was an empty baby crib. That's what has been. God says, if this is ever going to work, I gave him a promise. No, you're going to have a child out of your own loins, out of your own body. Now, for my promise to Abraham to come to pass. Now, how many of y'all want every promise of God to come to pass? See, God knows how this works. He says, if I don't change Abraham's hope, his faith will never bring this child, even though I spoke it. Now, you got that? God understands this stuff. So what does he do? He takes Abram outside the tent, and he has to show him a different image than an empty baby crib. Now, whatever it is you're believing God for, you're going to have to get a different image on the inside of you than what it has been. You can get that to several. We're going to get into the sources of hope here in a minute. Comes from the Word, though, primarily, and it comes from the Spirit as he shows you your call. Of course, that does take this thing called prayer and fellowship and communion with the Spirit. Okay. But item one to write down, anyway, what has been is not what shall be. Everyone got that one? Item two to write down. Then everything I say, don't try and write, you know, it's going to be too much. But these things, when I say number two or number three, that's to watch right, okay? Number two, hope must be solid substance in you before faith manifests that hope for you. I will. Hope must be solid substance in you before faith manifests that hope for you. Do I need to do it one more time? Hope must be solid substance in you before faith manifests that hope for you. I like Pastor Dave's example is the best I ever heard. He says, Noah's Ark, you know? He said that ark existed in the heart of Noah, long before it ever existed, made out of gopher wood. See, and the same thing with Abram. As he would focus. Now, the thing is, see, I didn't write this one down, but you better write this one down. It's your choice what you look at. Or you could say it's your choice what to focus on. You can either focus on the way it has been, or you can focus on the way it shall be. However you want to phrase that impacts you the best. Now see, that's that verse where it says, once God showed Abram the stars and said, this is the way your children are going to be now. This is your vision. The next verse says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him to righteousness. Now what that really means is, Abram made the right choice. He could have chosen. It was Abram's choice from that point on what to fill his soul with. See, we focus on the problem, we focus on the problem, we focus on the empty baby crib and say, oh, that's my problem, that's what's been, that's what's been. And as long as you do that, nothing's going to change in your life. Abram could have kept looking and focusing on that empty baby crib, couldn't he? It's his choice. God gave him the vision, what to look at. He showed him how it shall be. But it's up to Abram. Which one is he going to look at? In my mind's eye, I see him taking a blanket over there and covering that thing up, that empty baby crib. It's don't be looking at that thing anymore. And every night I can see him. I'm going to start, Sarah, from now on, I'm going to eat my meals under the starlight. While I eat, or in the evenings, I'm going to sit outside and we're going to look at the stars. We may start naming our children, just looking at these stars. You see what I'm saying? It's his choice and it's your choice. So, well, it's been bad a long time. They've been barren for 50 years. I'm only 51 years old. They've been barren about as long as I've been alive, you know. I like that. Only 51 years old. How about that? Glory to God. I don't feel 51. Hallelujah. Item 3. This is to write down. Hope must be like an image carved out of stone within your soul. Hope must be like an image carved out of stone within your soul. Sub A, little A underneath this outline. Not like vapor or liquid. Not a moving thing. And subheading B, hope must be more real than your circumstances. I'll kind of go over those again. Item 3, hope must be like an image carved out of stone within your soul. Item A, not like vapor or liquid. Item B, hope must be more real than your circumstances. And that's all just expounding on what has been. Is not what shall be. I don't care how long it's been that way. But it's going to take work on your part. You're going to have to choose what you focus on. I can't emphasize that enough. Even, and it doesn't matter. See, I know we've got people in here that are believing for their next biscuit. I've been there. How many have been there? Didn't know where your next meal's coming from. I've been there. Hey, glory to God, you know. But there comes, as you grow in this, Y'all might as well know, as far as I know, I'm the freest man on earth when it comes to money. I am. I am just totally, that is just not something that's even in my realm of responsibility. And boy, I didn't used to be like that. You ask anybody. I mean, I'm an engineering, you know, I like numbers and things, you know. Man, I used to agonize and worry. It's a wonder I didn't get ulcers, you know. And then even when we started understanding the principles of faith, it took forever, seems like. Well, what it really took was thousands of hours praying in other tongues to understand these mysteries for Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Father, all of them, I think, to get it across to me, he's not a liar. And if I put his kingdom first, I can quit worrying about my finances. And I don't worry about my finances. I really don't even think about it. He uses my arm, this one, I'm right-handed, to write the checks out. But I quit paying the bills at our house a long time ago. It's not even in my realm of responsibility. I don't even think about that. It's wonderful. I want to get that free in other areas. I'm free in some other areas that I didn't used to be. There's still some areas he's working on me. You know? See, I want... Oh, yeah. Okay, I heard that. See, really, when it comes to ministry, power is not a realm of our responsibility. Our realm of responsibility is obedience. Power is his responsibility. Right. Excuse me just a minute. Addendum, you know, glory to God. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. Hallelujah. You get your donkey pat today. Extra scoop of grain. The list so far? About hope. Of the addendum? Well, I said, I've known this. I said, like finances are not really in my realm of responsibility. It's really not. If I seek first the kingdom, his responsibility is to provide the finances. And then it just dawned on me. I said, there's other realms, you know, that I'm working on. I'll be honest with you. The number one thing in my life right now that the Lord's got me on is operating in more ministry power, you know, where his power flows when we minister. That's what he wants. Well, that sounds good to me. So, you know, he's teaching me how to apply these same principles that I've learned in finances when it comes to this. So the other thing I said was, it just dawned on me, well, wait a minute. Power for ministry, I'm talking about, like, you know, gifts of healing or whatever, that's not really my realm of responsibility to supply that. My realm is obedience, whatever he tells me to do. You know, if he says spit on the ground, make clay, put it on the guy's eyes, you do that. If he says spit, touch the guy's tongue, you do that. Or as that day says, if you jerk the guy's arm up, you know, if that's what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you obey that. But the power is from him. So it's really, I can see it's going to be the same. See how this works? Faith and hope, it all works. All these things work together. You learn it in one realm, and you can start applying it to your next one. So I know some people in here, again, are like right now believing for their needs to be met, their next biscuit. But then there's going to come a time, you keep growing in this, that won't be your responsibility anymore. You won't even think about that. You'll get into his plan and his flow, and once you're doing that, that's his job. To get the money to you, or, you know, all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Well, then, now your life starts becoming not just an inflow, but God starts using you as a channel of outflow, where he can start using your life to bless others. And then, see, that's why now, he's been using mine and Sue's life to a small degree to bless people, but he wants to do a lot more than that. So now I'm seeking him on how to apply these same principles so that more of his anointing and power can flow through us. Well, that happens as I hear his mind, and I'm mortified enough to obey him. I'm not embarrassed or anything to do what he tells, you know, what he says. Well, the more I can do that, then the more his power can flow through it, see? But it's his power. You like that? All right. So really, I'd already talked about item four. I wanted to talk about levels of hope. Levels of hope, and then, so like first, your necessities. You got to get an image that he is your provider. You need to go through some prosperity scriptures. He had me walk the floor 4 hours a day just on three verses. I don't mind. You can use mine if you want to, or he may give you some other ones. Mine were Psalms 34:10, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and Philippians 4:19. Because he needed to repaint a different image on the tapestry of my heart. I had an image that if you love God, you had to be poor. You quote those verses right there, 3 hours or four, you know, a few hours a day for several weeks, he'll paint a different image on your spirit. Philippians 4:19. You know, or stand by. But in my case, I mean, he told me those three, Psalms 34:10, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and Philippians 4:19. And every time I said them, another stroke of the brush, painting hope on the canvas of my heart. And once that image was there in full measure, now then faith was able to... Now, I had substance in here. I still didn't have any substance in my wallet. But, you know, once I crossed the line, boy, you can tell when you do it. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. You can tell when you cross. And really, I'm finding out now, I think it takes the longer time to develop the image of hope. Once that's really there, it seems like faith appropriates from that pretty quick. It took longer to develop my hope. But once I crossed the line, our circumstances started changing pretty rapidly after that. Glory to God. All right. Okay. So there's levels of hope, like for your necessities. And then item B under that would be for your ministry. That's your necessities would be your inflow, I guess. And then your ministry would be your outflow as God trains you and uses you to other people. All right, item five here. Sources of hope. Where do you get hope from? See, we know where faith comes from, doesn't it? Don't we? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, but faith doesn't produce nothing that doesn't already exist by hope. So one source for hope is the written word. That's where it would start. That's what he did with me, to paint a different image for prosperity in me. Okay? So you can go to the written word on a lot of things when it comes to salvation, how to be saved, hope to be saved. I mean, if somebody finally convinces me, you know, convinces a person, you are going to hell, you know. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. That's bad news. Right then, you need hope. So they come right in with John 3:16. I got some good news for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Amen? So hope for salvation, one source would be like the Word. All right? Healing. You can go directly to the Word and just fill yourself with an image of hope from the written Word itself. Isn't that right? Same thing with prosperity. I just gave that example on how he did that in my life. All right? But now there's another source of hope, and that's by the Spirit. And this has a whole lot to do with your call. This one takes fellowship. It has to do with your call. It has to do with your anointing. And it has to do with your future. The example again there is God giving Abraham the image to look at. Now, I want you to understand that that day that happened, it's back in Genesis 15. But now, the day that literally happened, Abram had no written promise. There was no written promise to him. Before that day, thou shalt have children that number as the stars of heaven. Abram couldn't go back and search what was there in Genesis, had it been written even, which it wasn't. But even if it had been, there is no written promise. You see what I'm saying? For Abram to hang his hope on. Where did Abram's vision come from? The Spirit, and I like to say fellowship with the Spirit. Communication, times of fellowship. He and the Lord had a conversation going on there. Somebody move my tape set right now, I would hold it up and go, $10. I don't ever have a communication with the Spirit. Distinguishing God's voice. Two tape set. Don't leave Tulsa without them. Okay. Hallelujah. But see, that's just, now that, because now you can go directly to the Word for all your basic things. Salvation, healing for your body, prosperity. God will send you some money. Bless God. Okay? Everything that Jesus bought and paid for, you can go to the Word and start appropriating. That is your inheritance. It's free by grace. You don't have to work for it either. All you got to do is believe it, possess it, like possessing the land here. Okay? But now, when it comes to other things, like your future, your individual future, that's going to take fellowship. Who wants to hang the rest of their life on a word from a quote, so-called prophet? Now, that's Old Testament stuff. The common person did not have the Spirit of the living God within them. They could not communicate with God like that on a regular basis. So they had no choice but to hear from the prophet. But God says, no, this new covenant's going to be different. They're going to all know me. They won't have to be going to their neighbor, teach me about the Lord or know the Lord. No, they'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. It's the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. A new spirit will I put in them, and my spirit will I put in them, that they may learn my statutes, my ways, and keep my ordinances. God puts a new spirit in you when? When does that happen? The new birth. Then he puts his spirit in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The two of you are supposed to be talking. You're not supposed to be coming to really a minister or a prophet in this dispensation to find out what God wants you doing in your life. God is in you. There is a holy of holies on the inside of you where you and the Holy Ghost are supposed to be communicating. That isn't happening in my life, Brother Gary. $10. Distinguishing God's voice. And if you're hearing this message only on a tape somewhere, I'm referring to a two-tape set series by Dave Roberson called Distinguishing God's Voice. And if you don't have that set of tapes, you need to write Dave Roberson Ministries in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and order a set. It's $10. It's the best $10 you ever spent in your life. Hallelujah. Now, so if you got item 5? Okay, item 6. I made a poster out of this one. Put it on my bathroom mirror. Well, I go in there several times a day. Yeah, here we go. Distinguishing God's voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll put this here handy. Yeah, well, you know, I go in my bathroom several times a day, you know. Not as often as Brad, but I do. Not as often to look in the mirror, you know, but I do go in there. And I've learned every night when I really get a zinger, something that I need to feed my soul with a lot till I get it. See, I got a word from Tim McFall in the first conference, March, a year ago, I think. And it was important. I knew it was God, and I had no idea what it meant. But I knew it was God. I got a warning from God about my own ministry. See, now, prophets are valid. I guess that's why the Lord's had me bring it. It's not that there is no prophetic ministry today. There is. But the role of the real prophet, a real prophet, and I'm going to tell you right now, 90% of them that I read on the internet are not prophets. You better learn how to hear God for yourself. Because I'm telling you, the vast majority of them are no more prophets than I'm a goose. They're just not. They have no even understanding of even what the new birth's all about. But the role of a real prophet, a New Testament prophet, is this. All right, let's say maybe you were on course for a while. You were hearing God, obeying God, and your ministry's going pretty well down the path of, you know, that God's ordained for your life. But somehow, some way, maybe, you know, just not lack of diligence, or just, you know, you got drawn aside or something, but you start veering off. If this is God's path right there, like my arm stretched out in front of me, and now you've started, unknown to you, but you're starting to depart from the path of God for your life. And every day that passes, you're getting further and further and further away from really what God's called you to do, and you don't know you're getting out there. Maybe you kind of do, but you don't really know. You know? I've been there before. Well, you get far enough out there. Listen, you get far enough away from the shepherd, that's where the wolves attack. You know? And the role of a real prophet, God will ring his bell one day and says, Gary's getting so far off track. Now, if something, he's not catching this. I keep trying to get it across to him, but he thinks his busy work is more important than spending time with me. And now he's not getting the correction I'm trying to get to him. If it keeps going that way, the wolves are going to attack. Now, you being my prophet, see, here's the thing about prophets too, a real one. All of them I ever met, they have almost no emotion. Thus saith the Lord, change this, do that, or die. I'll see you later. And they go have lunch, you know. And you're standing there shaking, you know, if it's a real prophet, you know. And hey, you know, y'all have read Kenneth Hagin's testimonies. You remember when God sent him to different ministers like that and says, you know, one of them, you need to lose so much weight, you need to change your love walk, and you need to do this, and if you don't, you're going to die. And sure enough, within a year, the guy didn't change it. Within a year, he was dead. That's what a real prophet does. But prophets are not supposed to dictate your life. But if you are getting way a real prophet, he'll come and he'll bring correction. And the reason God's having to resort to, that's not God's best. God's best is for you to spend time with him every day. He'll correct you. Himself, that's his best. Well, thank God for a prophet. I know one bona fide prophet on a personal basis. Well, how do you know he's a prophet? I've been watching him for 18 years and he's never missed it. Is that good enough for you? Every word he's ever spoken came to pass. All of them. Not just to me, to other people. When he comes, that is not the most pleasant experience you ever had in your life. Now, because a real prophet, he spent time in the... God told me, how did he put that? He says, the prophet's ministry is born in the crucible of fire. And when they come out, they care not for your feelings. They care not for your opinion. Their job is one. They are very single-minded. Thus saith the Lord thy God. And they take no responsibility at all for whether you obey that word. Their job is to deliver it and leave. When this fella comes, he's a friend of mine, this one. When he calls me, is this my friend or is this the prophet? You know? Are we going to have lunch or do I need to fast and pray before I meet with you? You know? Now, when he's not on a mission, when God hasn't given him assignment, he's my friend. And we talk about everything, fishing or whatever, you know. Boy, when that anointing is on him, that's not my friend anymore. This is a man who walked out of a crucible of fire. And I mean, there's fire in his eyes, too. Thus saith the Lord thy God. You better listen. Only twice in my ministry has he had to come give me correction. I pray God send him again if I need it. Amen? Did I ever read item 6?
No.
Oh, I told you how good it was. Yeah, put it on the mirror. Oh, I know how I got into the prophet thing. Tim McFall, I was telling you, I put important things on my mirror because it's important. You know, I don't want to forget it. Well, at that first conference, here's the word I got from Tim McFall. It was a warning. He said, say, Lord, I understand. This work is of you and not of man. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, to be honest with you. But I knew, boy, something in your spirit. When you hear God, you know it's God. Man, I made a poster out of that on my computer. I hung it up on the mirror. Every day I'd walk in there, because that's what he said to say. It was, Lord, I understand. This work is of you and not of man. Every day I'd say it several times a day, not even knowing what it meant. But I'm going to get my mouth in agreement with what the prophet spoke. Okay? And in that instance, Tim McFall, and the one I was talking about, by the way, is not Tim McFall. It's somebody else. You wouldn't know him. But and it was a long time praying in other tongues, praying the mysteries before I understood what that word meant. But here's what it meant. As you grow in ministry, and we're just fledglings, Sue and I, you know, but as you grow, you get a heart for people. And people, you know, they have problems. Have you all noticed? And so they're, you know, and be honest with you, because they haven't really developed a relationship to get their answers from God, they try and come get them from you. So, not understanding, you know, we were kind of falling into that trap of spending hours upon hours upon untold hours trying to counsel and help people. As though if we did that, we could somehow help them. And it took a long time for God to get it across to me. Without me, you can do nothing. Your only job, really, you can help them a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? But really, your job is to get them off that path they're on, not to give them answers. Your job is to get them off that path and on the path of hearing my voice. That's how you help them. This work, here's how he finally got it across to me. He said, son, I've not called you to minister to the people yourself. I've called you to be the vessel where I can minister to the people myself. Did you get that? Pardon me while I write that down. That's a real good term. Let me say it again. He says, and all of you ministers, boy, you better hearken to this. He says, I've not called you to minister to the people yourself. I've called you to be the vessel where I can minister to the people myself. He said, as a minister, he said, I've not called you to minister to the people yourself. I have called you to be the vessel where I can minister to the people myself. See? If I can get them on the path of praying in other tongues, spending time distinguishing God's voice, if I can teach them how to meditate the Word of God accurately, if I can do those things, then they'll start getting in touch with the living God themselves. And that's what Tim McFall was telling me. He said, listen, this work is of... He said, Lord, I understand. This work is of you, not of man. God didn't call Gary Carpenter to try and help all these folks. God called Gary Carpenter to put these folks in touch with the living God who can help them. Big difference. And Tim was sure right. It took a while for me to get it. Now I'll finally give you item six. That wasn't item six. That's a bonus. That's a bonus. Okay. Item six. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. Now, hope is of the soul. Faith is of the spirit. You know, the Bible talks about the heart a lot. It talks about the inner man. One place it talks about the hidden man of the heart. You might as well know that the heart of man is more than... I know most teachers teach it that the heart and spirit are identical. They're not identical. The heart of man, the core, the part you can't see, is the combination working in tandem. Your spirit and your soul. That's... Notice, now faith is... Faith, from the spirit, is the substance of things hoped for in the soul. Without those two working together, unless your inner man is in agreement, this stuff isn't going to work for you. You've got to have faith in your spirit and hope in your soul. And the two of them working together produces power, makes manifestation in the earth. If you're a house divided, it cannot stand. See, we've been so emphasizing faith from the spirit, and our soul has just run wild with all kinds of worry and depression and defeat and don't know what's going to happen. Or we're divided on the inside, and it's no wonder Satan's been having a heyday with us. No, your soul has got to be, is a part of this thing. Your heart is made up of two parts, your spirit and your soul, the inner man. The spirit really is the hidden man of the heart, if you want to know the truth of it. Why can you say that? Well, because Richard's personality is in his soul, you know. When we talk together and I get to know Richard, I'm my soul pretty much communicating with his soul. God, if I want to know something about his spirit, it has to be supernatural. God has to show me that. But the outer part that we can get to know of Richard is his soul. The spirit is the hidden man. See, that's the part I can't see without God's help. That's why we can't judge. You can't judge that part. God's never going to trust you to see much into their spirit until you become free of judgment yourself.
That is true.
Good stuff. But a house divided cannot stand. Well, your house is comprised of your spirit and your soul, your inner man. And unless the two are working together, now faith. Say, well, I have all the faith in the world. Are things going to change for you? Well, I sure hope so. That's not godly hope. That's human hope. That's wishy-washy, vague, like a vapor, like a liquid flowing. Today you hope so, tomorrow I don't know if you hope so or not. You know, yeah, they're going to change, I don't know if they're going to change. You're not into hope. You're divided. You're saying all the right things because you've been mechanically trained. And that's not wrong. But it's got to be coupled with real godly hope, what has been. Let me tell you, you can tell when somebody's in it. Things are not going to stay the way they... See, now, right now, let me do it in my own ministry. My ministry has been pretty much like this. I mean, God's used this sermon. I mean, thank God we've had some people bona fidely healed, documented. We've had a few things. But to me, it's been like mercy drops around us or falling, but for the showers we plead, okay? All right? So in my ministry right now, I am in the process right now of reprogramming my hoper. I'm getting a vision on the inside because the Holy Spirit's been instructing me to do it. In my own ministry right now. Now, here's the way it has been. Come in, we teach for an hour, hour and a half, whatever, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's at LaRue's, whether it's here. Now, there's been times when we've had some manifestation, but I'm talking about the vast majority of the time. Okay, my time is up. Thank you very much for coming, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hardly anything like what went on last night. You see what I'm saying? I wasn't expecting it. I'm a teacher. That was my image. And that's my hope. That's what I expected. And that's what God provided. Okay? He's been telling me I'm going to use you in more than that. So now, in my own ministry, see, what has been is not what shall be. I'm spending time going around my ugly building, because he told me to. I'm going around there spending time on purpose. God the Holy Ghost lives in my fingers. Christ is in me. The Father is in him. when I lay my hands on the sick, it's not just my hands touching them, it's the Father in me touching them. I know that if He touches them, they shall be whole. I'm working on my hoper. What has been is not what shall be. And we're already starting to see little more, little more. I practice on purpose. As I stand before, I say this, I stand before a person and I listen to the Spirit of God. I have learned how to distinguish His voice. And I stand. And whatever the Spirit of God, whatever the Father wants to do for that person, I spend time hoping this. I'm spending time doing this. Then the Holy Spirit, He gives me words of wisdom, words of knowledge, whatever it is I need to know. Then He gives me the gifts of healing, working of miracles. I receive the entire supply of the Spirit. Then when I pray, His power flows. Now, if I don't fill my hope with that, if I focus only on what has been, our ministry is never going to change. But if I fill my hope with that, on purpose, and I spend time, just like Abraham out at night with the stars, I spend time with this. I get my hope lining up. And at the same time, see, now faith appropriates from that hope. So faith is going to call those things which be not as though they are. Bronk asked me, just asked me this question. Gary? When you lay hands on the sick, do they recover? My response is, every time. Well, I happened to watch you, Brother Gary. The last four you laid hands on died. Now, you don't understand faith yet. Faith calls those things which be not. I know they died. That's what has been. We're working on what shall be. You seeing how this works? Hallelujah. And it's the same whether you're believing for a biscuit or for eyeballs. I got to teach that, from biscuits to eyeballs. I like that. Hallelujah. I like that. Item 6. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. You got that one? All right. Now, item 7. I would recommend that however you do your petitions with the Father. I told you how I do mine in a little ring binder. I don't care how you do them. Maybe you don't do them. I don't know what you do. But now that you've understand a little, now that we've talked about distinguishing God's voice, and of course, it goes without saying, practice this. Get these tapes, listen to them until you can repeat them verbatim. But mainly practice them. Practice and practice and practice and practice. Do exactly what's on here until you start hearing Him yourself. You will. Say, I will.
I will.
Call those things that be not as though they were. And now, item 7, review all of your petitions with the Holy Spirit. And what I would do if I were, what I am doing, I'm just telling you, ones that I currently have that have not yet been manifested, I've asked for them. I believed I received when I prayed, and I've been thanking Him for them. I'm in the process right now of reviewing those. And sure enough, He's showing me. My hope, sure enough, was not as solid as I thought it was. When I really got to looking at these things and discussing them with Him, I have unanswered questions. You know, I think I talked about it. For example, there's a particular house where that Sue and I have petitioned. It's for sale, so I'm not, you know, coveting another person's house. You with me? It's available. And we like it. And we petitioned it. We thought about it a long time. I mean, I made a formal petition. Looks like a requisition form going to the head of, you know, CEO of a corporation. God, you know, God and Sons Incorporated, requisition form. I don't know how you do it. Points of contact helped me. But I got to really looking at this. And when I really got to thinking about it and communing in my heart with the Holy Spirit about it, sure enough, I had some questions. There were some things I hadn't even allowed to come to the surface of my mind. This house is bigger than the house we're in. Then I got to thinking, now, wait a minute. Based on some of the stuff the Holy Spirit's been telling me, there's a good chance Sue and I may be doing a lot of traveling in the next few years, maybe even overseas. Do I want Do I really want to be paying for the air conditioning and the heating of a house I'm not in? I don't know. Do I want to pay somebody to maintain the yard that I'm not going to be there? You see what I'm saying? So it's just a matter. I can see now why that hasn't manifested. There's unresolved questions, even in my own hope. You with me? So it's just a matter of just getting with Him, getting alone with God, distinguishing His voice. He'll show me enough. He told me, one of the things He told me, He says, I'll always show you enough. I intend for my people to live by faith. My people are always wanting enough information where they don't have to. He told me that years ago. But He does say, He did tell me this. He says, but I always give you enough information to act on. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Now, I don't show you the, in other words, I'm not going to show you the end from the beginning. You're not going to see the whole thing. But I'll give you enough information. He says, I really like it when you sit in my presence long enough to find out when, where, how, who, and especially what. He says, a lot of times I don't answer why. I'm checking to make sure it's okay to share something. You know why He doesn't always answer why? Two reasons, He told me. This is a bonus too. Number one, it genders delay. Those why questions. Why do you want me to do it like that? Why this? Why that? It tends to foster delay. He says, and with that kind of thing going on, He says, you got to understand your enemy is not inactive. He's not going to stand in one spot going, hit me. I'm right here. Hit me. No, He's moving all the time. He's always changing His maneuvers. Okay, I'm going to try to get it simple. I want to get it simple. God says, for example, you get an instruction from the Holy Ghost that says, be at the Waffle House at 51st and Peoria at 2 o'clock today. And you go, why? Why? Now, why would you want me to be at the Waffle House at 2 o'clock? I don't know if I'm going to obey this or not obey this, you know. And tell me why. Let's talk about this. And, you know, by the time that you spend doing that, 2 o'clock comes and goes, and you never did go to the Waffle House. And come to find out, you've been asking God for a raise for the last 6 months and confessing you have $1,000 a month raise. And the guy that God had brought, who was going to be your future employer to give you that income, just happened to be at the Waffle House at 2 o'clock. And the only vacant seat in the place when you got there would have been the one across from him. So at 3 o'clock, you finally say, well, all right, I'll go obey you to God. I'm going to the Waffle House. And that guy's already ate and gone. Do you understand me? Yeah. Same thing on the other side. He may want to send you somewhere. Because the enemy's not inactive either. He wants you to be at a certain place at a certain time. You don't go. And the guy he wanted you to minister to, you never ministered to him, and he commits suicide 2 hours later. So he's the two reasons why he doesn't answer why all the time. He says sometimes I do. It depends. It genders delay. And the second item, it questions the motives of the Lamb. Yeah. Questions the motives of the Lamb. Who is serving who here? Now, even though Jesus called us His friend, and he says a servant, you know, doesn't know what his master's doing. He shares with us a lot. But sometimes I don't need to know what's going on. You know, he wants me to minister to Ray. There's stuff personal between Ray and God that I don't need to know. You know, I mean, there's no reason for me to know all the whys. But God is trying to answer Ray's prayer. He's wanting to use me this time. So, of course, God says, take Ray $10,000, doesn't he, Ray?
He does.
He tells everybody that, doesn't he, Ray? And all of you that's not here in that gym isn't God, aren't they, Ray? Oh, no. But see, now, why? To be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't need to know why. Can I trust Jesus that He knows what He's doing? Who's in charge here? Let's see now. Lord, check. Who is Lord? Oh, yeah. He is Lord. I'm His servant. Okay, I got this. I got this. He wants me to take $10,000 to Ray. Yes. And I don't need to know why.
That's right.
Now, it would be okay for me to ask when. Because he may say, 1999, August 7th, 10 in the morning. Where? Where? You see what I'm saying? It's okay to ask, because he says, I give you enough information to act on. I don't always answer why. Okay, we'll go on here. All right, I'm going to have to hurry a little bit, or you're going to miss your donut. God forbid. Hey, you need your strength after last night. It's okay. Now there is no condemnation. All right. So anyway, it's good to review all of your present petitions. I would recommend going back and reviewing them with the Holy Spirit, especially as you learn more and more. But even if you can't, you know, if you're not developed in this very much yet, go back over them yourselves. See if there's any unresolved questions. Maybe the reason that thing hasn't manifested in 14 years, there may be some unresolved questions in you. There may be some things. Your hope may not be as solid right there as you think it is. I found out mine wasn't on several items. Okay? And then, he said to learn to review your future petitions. The Holy Spirit says, I'll review them with you ahead of time, before you make them. I'll show you if they're in the Lamb's plan for your life or not. Should I live in Omaha? Should I live in Immokalee? He says, you know, oh God, travail, 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 pray. Should I live in Omaha? Should I live in Immokalee? He says, no, I want you living in Sepulpa. You know? Hey, we just eliminated a lot of petitions. There's no point me believing for a house in Omaha or Immokalee if he wants me in Sepulpa. That we got a living God here who's got a voice, who flat intends to lead us like He's real. I like this stuff. Glory to God. Now you got to remember this. Item 8. The foundation for all hope is grace. Get your performance out of your mind forever. When it comes to receiving what you need from God. Now, it is true that obedience brings great reward. You with me? But even then, remember, don't forget that vision, that little thing I said about that he taught me, concerning my grandfather and those sons. When they came to the dinner bell, when it was supper time, they came and sat at the father's table. Didn't matter whether their job that day was driving the combine, you know. That takes a high level of performance. You got to know what you're doing. You get that thing messed up, you can wreck the combine or run over one of your brothers and combine him. You know? You got your brother spitting out the back, baled up like hay, you know. You know? That's not good. Well, that takes a certain level of skill. It takes less skill to grease the wheels. Wouldn't you agree? You know, somebody's got to grease the wheels. But if they're both sons, they both eat at the same supper table. And they're both expected to eat till they're full. My grandfather would have thought there's something wrong with you. Go out and work all day in the fields, come in. I don't care whether you grease the wheels, slop the hogs, wash the clothes. What difference does it make? You're doing what he told you. Your provision is not based on your performance. It's based on His grace. It's based on His performance. You are an heir. You have a right to sit at that table and eat till you're full because you're a son. Isn't that good? It's hard for us. But it's easy if you can relate it to your own family. You know? We are not hirelings. We're not serving God for hire. We're sons. We're serving Him on the basis of love.
Hallelujah.
Why do I do what I do? That's what my Father wants me doing. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's it. Hallelujah. My service is my reward. When it comes to that, I got to serve Him today. Right now, what I'm doing, this is part of my reward. You understand me? You know, this is my reward. It's got nothing to do. Nothing. If I need a computer, if I need it, I know how to get it. I don't need to ask you for it. I don't need to send an appeal letter either. I don't need to start a building program either. Computer funding program. If each of you will send $1. You got to operate wherever you're at. I don't operate that way. I'm telling you, I can get all the computers I need. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Anything I need. How do you know that, brother? Gary, how can you make such a rash, bold statement as that? I mean, if not one of you gives a dime either. How can you say such a thing as that? Because Jesus is not a liar.
Yes.
He said, whatsoever I'd ask the Father in His name, my Father would give it me.
Yes. Come on.
Now, he probably will use somebody. But I'm going to let Him talk to that somebody and not me. Now, when God tells you to sow, honey, you're in for some reaping. Now, if a preacher tells you to sow, you may or may not get some reaping. I'm the freest man I know when it comes to finances. Glory to God. The devil tried our ground here a little while ago. I always tell stuff after the fact. That's how you have testimonies. The devil tried our ground. He hadn't tried it in a long time. Tried our ground a little bit financially right before the conference, wouldn't you know? You know, we got all these people coming in. We're wanting to be the host for a change, you know, and feed some people and do some things, you know. Devil tried our ground all of a sudden. Just all of a sudden, mailbox just dried up. I mean, you know. Well, those same old thoughts, you know. I know how ministers get off into that. I know if I sent y'all a letter. Because y'all love me, the ones on my list. You know. I know if I sent you a letter, told you the circumstances, you'd send money. Oh, do you think the devil didn't tempt me to do that? We got down within $50. I don't mind telling you. Now, I don't mind telling you now. I would never have told you then. Well, hey, I'm a human being. I can't stop those thoughts from coming across my mind. Boy, and then thoughts would come, you know. Even during that week, I got an offer to go hold a meeting at a certain little town. And if I went there, see, if your mind is on the money, you make the wrong decision. Because the thought was, God had already told me to take no meetings in preparation for this. But my thought was, probably, yeah, maybe at least get a couple of $100 or so. It was a small place, you know. Maybe get a couple of $100, come back from there. I could probably bless the people. Yeah, that'd be good. I could go take that meeting, yeah. Probably get somebody saved or something. Well, what I'm really thinking is, maybe I can get some money. You know? And boy, that's that time then now when you've got to find out who you serve. Why you're serving Him. Went back into prayer. Now what I do, I go back to the words He has spoken to me in the past. See, that's what's built the image up to this point anyway. What did He say? Sell no tapes. Take up no offerings from these people. Never let another human being ever know a need that you have. I am your source. Do not include return envelopes. That's what He told me. I'm not saying that's what He told you. If you will precisely obey me, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the needs of the ministry. I read them again. I got on my knees. I said, Father, that's not you. I don't care about living. I'm not going to violate it. You have to meet my needs. If you have to raise up gospel entrepreneurs around me to do it, I will not make merchandise of these sheep. I will not do it. 2 days before the conference, in 2 days, we had over $1,100 come in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Been flowing ever since. Just trying our ground. Every now and then he comes along and says, let's see if they still believe it. They kind of got comfortable in that area now. It's been a while. Let's shake them up a little bit. See if they're still going to remember what God said. or if they're going to go man's ways. The foundation of hope is grace. Did I say that when that's item 8? His work, His performance, not yours. I got to hurry here a little bit. 9. The foundation for grace is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I think we've already talked about that. The foundation for grace is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Item 10. You ready? There is no such thing as false hope when hope is built on the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as false hope when hope is built on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That means it's always His will to heal you. That means it's always His will to provide for you. That means it's always His will to save everybody. Anything that Jesus paid the price for, that's a solid rock foundation for you to build your hope on, or to put hope in other people as ministers. Now here's 11, this one you really need to write down. Here is a litmus test for you to take to find out if you're in hope. Would y'all like that? This, I assure you, every time you'll be able to tell, once you take this test, if you're in godly hope or not. Now, write down this verse. Just write the reference. Romans 15:13. You can look it up later. I'll read it to you. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Oh, that's a verse and a half. But now here's your litmus test. See, if you're in godly hope, ask yourself, am I filled with these two things? Here's your litmus test. Say, I need to find out, Brother Gary, if I'm really got godly hope or if I'm kidding myself. Well, you're in godly hope if you're filled with these two things: joy and peace. Let me read the verse to you again. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." If you're not filled with joy and peace, if your life is full of, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, I can't sleep at night. If the money doesn't come in, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, if God doesn't heal me, the doctors say I'm going to die. If that's you, I would not call that being filled with joy and peace. And if that's you, you're not in hope yet. You still need to work on that image. You need to spend more time seeing yourself well. You need to see yourself paying your bills. You need to see your ministry being powerful and anointed and successful. You need to see your business making lots of money. Whatever it is He's called you to, work on your hope until joy and peace settle in. Because until you've got them, you're not in hope. You're not in hope yet. There's nothing yet for faith to give substance to. It's not going to change. Boy, once you cross that line now, though, you work on it. Bless God. What has been is not what shall be. Devil, take your best shot. I already found out something. I've been to the promised land. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen into the promised land. And what has been is not what shall be. And these, my circumstances are changing. Glory to God. You got it? But until you... Now, so you, that's a litmus test you can tell in any realm of life. Am I full of peace, joy? Am I full of joy and peace? And if you're not, well, you know what to work on. Your hope. Get that vision. You don't have the vision yet. Okay? So work on your hope until you are filled. Okay? Item 12. We've got about 5 more minutes here. We're going to let you go. Item 12. Hope produces peace. We just saw that. His leadership is found in His peace. His leader, okay, item 12, hope produces peace, period. His leadership is found in His peace. See, until you cross over into hope and you're not fighting and wrestling and there's a hurricane going on the inside of you, but once that settles down and you become like David, He's led you now beside those still waters. You're feeding in those meadows of grass, you know. Oh, yes, He is Lord after all. Hallelujah. He's my shepherd. Hallelujah. I'm filled with joy and peace in believing now. I'm full of hope. Well, now you're calm. You're getting quiet on the inside. Now you can start hearing that still, small voice where He communicates with you in the Holy of Holies. And really what's going to happen there, that's where you start getting your instructions of faith. That's where He starts giving you those instructions that's really going to manifest what your hope is full of. And He'll just say, do this and do that and do this by 4 o'clock tomorrow. And faith appropriates because you heard His voice in that peace now. You heard His instructions and you just obey that. And sure enough, faith manifested your hope. And you've got it. Isn't that good stuff? You see? Okay, this is the last item. Item 13. We've got several sub-items under it. Now, you need to understand that this whole thing that I just described, the Holy Spirit told me, I'm quoting to you. You can reject it if you want to. This is what He told me. He said this right here that we just talked about. He called it the delivery system from your provider. This is the delivery system from your provider. This is how He provides for you. What did He provide for Abram? Abram wanted a son. God says, I need to change your hope. Well, that's your soul. We'll get you looking there. Got to get you filled with an image here. Your children shall be like these stars. Then I got to give you some instructions of faith. Here's my instructions. Change your name. By doing that, in your case, every time you say your name, you will be calling those things which be not as though they were. We got hope for the soul. We got what to speak now for our faith. The combination of those things reversed the aging process. Didn't stop it. Reversed the aging process. Sarah began ovulating again. She had been past menopause. We're talking a creative miracle here. Creative miracle. I don't see any. See if I can word this in a godly way. And Abram became a man of stature. Yes. Well, Sarah had said, she says, she'd laughed, you know, she said, shall I again have pleasure? Indicating she hadn't. In a while. Y'all get the point? Is that enough? Did I do okay? Lord. Whew. Reversed the aging process. The older I get, the more I appreciate this miracle. Glory to God. Now, if God can do that, I figure He can get another biscuit on your table by these methods. He might even be able to heal some folks when you pray. If we could ever apply these same principles. This is the delivery system. This is how He gets it to you. That's how He got a son to Abram. When it was impossible. So let me summarize just 4 items. The delivery system from your provider is A. Item A. Godly hope in full measure, solid, unmovable, within you first. I'll say it again. Item A, godly hope in full measure, solid, unmovable in you first. Got it? Item B. Now, once you have that, Joy and peace is where his instructions are heard. Joy and peace is where his instructions are heard. Item C, a consistent confession that, quote, calls those things which be not as though they were. I'll say it again. Item C, a consistent confession that, quote, calls those things which be not as though they were. And then item D, the last one, patience, colon, steadfast consistency that does not waver until you have the manifestation of your hope in the natural realm. I'll read that one again. That's a long one. Patience, colon, steadfast consistency that does not waver until you have the manifestation of your hope in the natural realm. Bracket, no quitting sense. I'll read it again. Patience, colon, steadfast consistency that does not waver until you have the manifestation of your hope in the natural realm. Hallelujah. I see God set it up in another place. He says he made it by faith, by grace and by faith. Why? Why? So that the promise could be sure to all the seed. See, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be educated to do this, really. You don't have to be good looking and tall like LaRue, or shorter and brown hair like me. It doesn't make any difference. We can both live this way. You don't have to have a lot of money. We can be older. We can be younger. And we can still get this, can't we, Harry?
Yes.
Amen? You can have a lot of money, have a little money. This will bring you some more money. Well, he said he did it this way. We keep thinking he did it this way to make it hard. No, he said, I did it this way so you could all have it. Everybody can do this.
Hallelujah.
I put a hoper in you. I put a soul in you. I know how I made you, God says.
Wow.
And I gave you a new spirit that has the capacity for faith.
Yes.
Now you just learned my delivery system and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Wow.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He did it this way so we could all have it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did y'all get anything out of that? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, this would just be good for you to say. I hear this going on the inside of me. Say this. Say, Father,
Father,
I am filled
with joy
and peace in believing. You are my God of hope.
And I abound in hope
through the power
of the Holy
Ghost. Amen. Now praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.